I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
All right, and Fast Track is presented by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. Got a car that's just sitting around not being used? Bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota, the house of yes. All right, John. Dodgers are a close ball game tomorrow against the Nationals in the home opener. One side of the coin, they go with Kenley Jansen for the save. The other side of the coin, Dave Roberts goes elsewhere. What do you call?
Oh, it's tails. He ain't going back to Kenley Jansen.
Tails it is. No Kenley.
I think you guys are wrong, but John, it's your option.
I will defer. No advantage goes with that.
All right. Nike is doing a new set of alternative jerseys for Major League Baseball teams. These are called the City Connected uniforms, and the Red Sox have the first one out. The uniform has no red in it. It is gold with powdered blue lettering and sleeves. The Red Sox say they did these colors to honor the colors of the Boston Marathon and Patriots Day in Boston. The Dodgers are supposed to be getting their city-connected jerseys later on in the summer. What do you think of these city-connected jerseys, these alternative uniforms, and in particular, the Red Sox unis having no red at all?
Yeah, I saw these. They look like UCLA baseball
They
uniforms.
Do look like UCLA unis, yeah.
It's not the Red Sox to me. I understand that they're all trying to capitalize on marketing and trying to find new ways to get a dollar. So NBA teams have 5 or 6 uniforms each now. I get it, but the only one I've seen so far is the Red Sox, and I'm not a fan. What do you think?
I do not like it. I think it should at least resemble the original uniforms. Now, I may be in the minority, but I don't like the white and baby blue uniforms that the Lakers use. What are the Minneapolis uniforms?
Yeah, I do. I like those.
Yeah, I don't like those. Give me purple. Give me gold. I'm a purple and gold guy. Give me old-fashioned, old-school
purple
and
gold. What do you think of the Sunday whites, the ones they wear on Sunday?
I actually do like the Sunday whites. I do like the Sunday whites.
Yeah.
It's to you.
All right, a guy named Marshall Hutchings, whose father tragically died during a taco eating contest in California, is suing the company that owns the minor league baseball team over his father's death. According to TMZ Sports, Hutchings is suing Fresno Sports and Events, who owns the Fresno Grizzlies, for hosting the eating contest in 2019. Mm. Hutchings' father passed away after choking on remnants of a taco. Hmm. Hutchings asserts they had no business holding an event like that with novices because he says professional food eating is serious business and requires preparation and training on the participants' part, insisting average Joes aren't equipped to compete safely. Long story short, Hutchings claims the event was too dangerous and the company did not take proper steps in running it, which ended up costing his father his life. Mace, based on this short description, and I know you don't have all the facts, what do you think his chances are of winning this case?
I think his chances are actually high. I think there is liability here. I understand that he went into it with his eyes open. He knew he was going to be in a taco eating contest, but was there a medical professional there? Was there enough water there? Did they attend to him in time? Clearly not. I mean, all those things, I think, create liability. So I think he's going to win something. I don't think it's a slam dunk, but I think he's going to win something.
Except that all of us have been, like, you and I have had eating contests. We used to have burrito eating contests when we did the TV show. You and Amanda had a donut eating contest.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if you go into it willingly, I don't have a lot of sympathy if you choke on the food and die. It's tragic, but I don't know if I'd award him money. I don't think he's going to win the case. Lindsay, what do you think?
I don't think so. I think it's a little bit too, what do they call those, frivolous lawsuits?
Right.
Sounds too frivolous for me.
Yeah, dead person, not frivolous.
Well, no, not.
I don't mean in that
it's
sense.
It's not any less tragic, but I don't know if the team is liable
right.
for his death.
Right,
got right.
It. It's
what I
to
mean.
You.
All right, so I got a brand new fantasy baseball season starting tonight. The Shaky League, which we started in 1987,
wow.
and still has 5 of its original members, will be joined this year by our Adam Bronstein and our Lindsay Fulton. Now, here's the question, John. I am on a bad run in this fantasy. I used to win.
Shocking.
I used to win it early in my fantasy career in the 80s and the 90s. I was a regular winner. I've not won in a while. And here's my question. Tonight is the draft. Should I, given the fact that I've had very shaky success in drafting, no success actually in drafting, should I do it stoned?
100%. Because if you don't do well, you can just blame it on that, you know, well, I got stoned and then I had a bad year. And if you do well, you can say, look, I beat these guys even though I was stoned. It's kind of like Keyshawn winning the marquee race against
yes.
Marcellus when he drank three margaritas right before the race. And Marcellus trained and took it all seriously. Key had an excuse if he lost, but he ended up winning, so it's even sweeter. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to go for it. So if I make some weird picks late, Lindsay, just know what's going on.
Okay.
It's to me. Okay. Actor Morgan Freeman has done a public service announcement telling people to get the coronavirus vaccine.
Morgan Freeman.
For some reason, people are mad about this. Here's the actual announcement.
I'm Morgan Freeman. I'm not a doctor, but I trust science. And I'm told that for some reason people trust me. So here I am to say, I trust science and I got the vaccine. If you trust me, you'll get the vaccine. In math, it's called the distributive property. In people, it's called taking care of one another. Get the vaccine. Help make our world a safe place for us to enjoy ourselves again. Please.
All right, so
very controversial.
Pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
After it was released, social media started hating on Freeman. Quote, "Hey, let's take medical advice from actors who lie for a living. What could possibly go wrong?" One poster tweeted. Another person wrote, quote, "I don't know Morgan Freeman personally, so how would I trust him? As for politicians, I don't trust any of them," end quote. A third guy tweeted, "Morgan Freeman's a great actor. Unfortunately, there's not an actor in the world that can give 10-year safety data on your experimental technology, so I don't care who you pay to beg me to get one, I'm not," end quote. Is there anything wrong with Freeman, an actor, asking people to get the vaccine?
No, I mean, all these similar fears existed with polio back in the 50s, or yeah, I guess it was the 50s, and they discovered a vaccine. Jonas Salk discovered a vaccine. Elvis took it on national TV as a way to signal that it was okay. I mean, this anti-vax crowd is going to be really big, though. There are a lot of people, and I know people, who are saying, I don't believe in vaccines. I've never gotten the flu shot. Why should I get this vaccine? And here's what I say to them. We're going to get to a point this summer where everybody will have had a chance to get the vaccine. And if you don't and you get sick, that's on you. Is that
right.
fair?
That is fair. But one of the reasons why I want everybody to take it is I don't want to go back to what we've been putting up with for the past year.
No.
And the more people that take the vaccine, the less likely it is that we'll go back to that. So your actions, your refusal to take the vaccine actually affects me. So take the vaccine and don't try and be a hero. I think that we, you know, it's not, I had my first shot today. I told you guys I felt lousy. I'm anticipating feeling lousy for a couple of days after I take the second shot. It's the price I pay for making my friends and my
family
safe.
Yeah, and by the way, I didn't feel lousy on either one. So it's possible you won't have any side effects. I had no side effects whatsoever for either shot except a slightly sore arm.
All right, it's to you.
Go get your vaccine. All right. A man named Jack Trumbull is now in the Guinness Book of World Records for eating three Carolina Reaper chili peppers. Those are measured as the hottest chili peppers in the world. He ate those three peppers in 9.72 seconds, chewing and showing the inside of his mouth after each one. Right afterwards, he said, "It feels so good, but hurts so bad at the same time. My eyes are crying, but I'm happy on the inside." John, what is your tolerance for spice, and how would you do on that show, The Hot Ones, with Sean Evans?
Terrible. I have very little. Now, my wife is Italian. She has a large tolerance for spice, but if you offered, like if I go to a place where it says spicy or mild, I always go mild. Spice and me, I like it. It doesn't like me, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I always go spicy. I've got a very high tolerance for spice. I would love to, you know, to do the hot ones bit with Sean Evans and eat the 10 wing gauntlet and yeah,
I'd be off the
hottest
show
sauces,
for days.
Blair's Megadeth hot sauce, all those hot sauce. I would love to do. I've always thought we should get Sean Evans on the show. It'd be fun. That show, everybody goes on that show where they eat the hot wings now.
Right. I would have no objection to having him on the show. I would just be a terrible contestant.
Yeah, yeah. All right, it's to you for a quick one.
All right. At the trade deadline, the Denver Nuggets traded for Orlando forward Aaron Gordon. As Dan Devine from The Ringer points out, the Nuggets are 4-0 since that trade, with the league's fourth largest point differential in
wow.
that span. It includes wins over a Hawks team that's 12-4 since the beginning of March, the Clippers with Kawhi and Paul George, and a 76ers squad that had been surging. We all talk about Utah, Phoenix, and the Clippers. Is it possible the most serious threat to a healthy Lakers team is Denver?
You know, I still think the Clippers are going to be the biggest challenge in the West to get through to the finals, as much as I hate to say it. But Denver is, that was a tremendous trade. They gave up virtually nothing for him. And he has really ignited their offense. I mean, you've got Jokic, who I think if they had the vote today would probably be the most valuable player, given that Embiid
right.
was out and LeBron was out and all that stuff. So, yeah, I mean, I think they'll be a threat. I still believe the Clippers are the bigger threat.
I think Denver could be a sleeper. I haven't seen them play in person since they had Aaron Gordon, but they made it to the Western Conference Finals last year. The Clippers tend to fold up in the playoffs. Don't sleep on the Nuggets. I think that they could knock somebody out.
All right, there you go. There is your fast track for
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hey, you know, it's that same picture, the one where he's on a golf course and somebody's really close to him and they got cigars and they're sticking out of their masks. That was the picture. It's the only picture I ever see from Morales on social media. All right, so here we go. We got us a $100 gift card to Roger Dunn Golf Shops. And, John, you have invented a game to play here.
Right.
And Jorge, we've got him lined up. Yep, here we go. All right.
Who's first?
Let's go to Matt in Eagle Rock. Matt, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up, man?
What's going on, fellas?
All's good.
All right, Matt, let's see if you can win this thing. All right, including the year 2000, how many times has a foreign player won the Masters in this century? So they've had 20 Masters. How many times has a foreign player won it?
Ooh, I'm going to go three.
Okay, good
three.
Guess.
All right.
Who's next?
Let's go to Josh in Fullerton. Josh, you're on 710 ESPN. Hey, man.
Hey, what's
Josh.
Up, fellas? How's everything?
Hey, Josh.
Great.
How many times, including the year 2000, has a foreign player won the Masters in this century?
Let's go six.
Six. Okay.
All right. Let's go to Adrian from the Valley. Adrian, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up?
How's it going?
Good, man.
Pretty good, Adrian. How many times, including the year 2000, has a foreign player won the Masters in this century?
I'm going to say nine.
Nine. Okay.
Okay.
And the last one is Brandon from Redondo Beach, or Braden from Redondo Beach. Braden, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up, dude?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Braden.
I'm going to guess five.
Okay. Mace, okay, so, the correct answer. You want to guess, Mason?
I will guess seven.
You're very close. The correct answer is eight, which means Adrian is our winner.
Nice.
Adrian takes home the $100 Roger Dunn gift card.
Okay, Adrian, stay on the line, man. Stay on the line. All right, so thanks very much to Roger Dunn. We appreciate those guys an awful lot. And
By the way, Justin Rose is now the sole leader at the Masters. He is on the 15th hole, and he's 4 under.
Has he gotten to Hallelujah Corner?
He's in it.
He's in it.
I mean, he just turned out of it. That's 10, 11, 12 is amen corner.
Okay, got it.
There is no hallelujah corner.
Isn't it like hallelujah when you get to the 18th? It's like, yeah, you survived the course?
If you get through amen corner, then you still have like seven holes left.
Oh, okay, got it. So let me ask you, first of all, go back and find that LeBron James Instagram post from a couple of minutes ago, because I think that's important. The Lakers getting ready to face Miami. We've got pregame coming up for you at 3 o'clock today. Spock and the Jock from 3 to 4:30, and then 4:30 the tip-off in Miami as the Lakers take on the Heat in a rematch of last year's NBA Finals. Now, you found that Instagram post, John. What does it say?
Yeah, I only follow like 5 people on Instagram, and I hardly ever check it.
Okay.
But this came down earlier this afternoon. It's a picture of LeBron and Anthony Davis sitting on a scores table, clapping like they're cheering on their team. And LeBron captioned the picture with this.
Yep.
The weatherman says the weather is changing soon, and it predicts a thunderstorm. Thunder is coming. Folks, prepare and take the proper caution measures to stay safe.
You know, thunder is not a threat. I'd rather see the lightning.
But there is lightning when there's
thunder. Michael, it is.
Thunder
it is. It doesn't say the word thunder. It's got a an emoji.
Mm-hmm.
Of, like, thunder and lightning.
Yeah, now you're talking.
Now!
Yeah, that lightning could kill you.
Thunder and lightning.
Thunder.
You know, who was it that got struck by... Lee Trevino get struck by lightning twice?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and then he said he should have been hitting a one iron.
Well, holding up a one iron.
Because God, not even iron. God can hit a one iron.
Yeah.
You know, I have a very funny story about getting struck by lightning.
You
okay,
did?
Good. Oh,
funny?
Good. Funny.
I didn't.
Funny
stories.
Ha-ha?
Yes, it's funny ha-ha. I didn't, but my dad did. So my dad used to be the technical engineer for the Cleveland Browns radio network.
Okay.
One time they were down in Tampa for a preseason game, and it was thunderstorming and lightning, and I guess they went off the air. So my dad had to climb on the roof of the stadium and do something to get them back on the air, do mess with the transmitter or whatever. And when he was up there, he got struck by lightning. And he said that, like, I guess my mom was listening and, like, you know, his friends or whatever listening to the broadcast, and they just hear Nev Chandler say, and thoughts go out to our engineer, Steve Fulton, who was struck by lightning today. And
wow.
It's the first down, like, went right back into the game, didn't say anything. So everyone's like, calling my mom, like, is he okay? What happened? Did he die? Like, what happened? And it all turned out he was fine. He was okay. But he said his sneakers saved his life because the bottom of his Nikes melted.
Whoa.
Wow.
Well, so they say,
did he
you
come
know,
out of
they...
it with any special powers?
No, I mean, not that I'm aware of.
Like John Travolta in that movie. But Mace, they say this, you know where the safest place to be during a lightning storm is, right?
Is
out of roof?
No, in your car.
In your car.
In your car?
Because rubber tires.
All four tires are rubber.
Tires. Uh-huh. Yeah.
If the lightning strikes, sort of go through the car and through
the
tires.
It absorbs the lightning.
Oh, wow. So
for the electricity. Yeah, my dad said he sent his sneakers into Nike and wrote them a letter because he thought it'd be a good idea for a commercial.
Well, how
They sent him new shoes, but he said they didn't make it a commercial.
But how did it feel? Did he lose consciousness? What happened?
Yeah, I guess he got knocked out, and he was in the hospital for, like, overnight.
But
oh,
he didn't get any superpowers out of it?
That's the thing I would want.
Yeah, he's a super dad, right, Lindsay?
I was just going to say he is a super dad,
there you go.
So that was good.
There you
yeah.
see?
Yeah.
We're
see,
meeting Lindsay's whole family on the show right now. We met brother Steven. Now we're hearing about her dad, Steve.
Tell us about Grandpa and Grandma.
they're all gone. All
so is your brother Steve Jr.?
No, he's not a junior. They have different middle names.
Oh, okay, got it.
But my brother lies and tells people he's a junior.
You got a sister? You got
Mason
a sister?
And I are both juniors.
Yeah, we're both juniors.
Actually, Mason,
actually
you're a third.
Yeah, I'm the third.
That's kind of
That's
kind of hoity-toity, Mace.
I don't use it.
It's
a
like
lot.
Thurston Howell. Like Thurston Howell
something.
Thurston Howell the third.
Stephen Mashonsky
the third.
If you'd have seen the first two, you would not say I'm hoity-toity.
What's wrong with your brothers?
My dad and my granddad are, they were not hoity-toity.
Yeah, they're more like Archie
Bunker.
You
don't have much to live up to there?
Don't have much to live up to. No, I think I outkicked
them. Were they like Archie Bunker?
My dad was a little like Archie Bunker, and my grandfather was definitely like Archie
Bunker. I'd love to have dinner with your dad. I love those Archie Bunker types.
My dad, it was out of control. My dad would, especially when he moved out to the desert, he could not control his jokes about Jewish people.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm like, you are living. At one point, I pulled him aside and said, Dad, all your neighbors are Jewish. You have to stop this.
Did they laugh?
You cannot use Jew as a verb. Jew cannot be used as a verb.
Jeez.
All right, so I want to get this in real quick. The LA Times has had two food critics for a long time, and yesterday one of them left the Times. And that leaves a guy named Bill Addison as the food critic. Good for him. Here's the thing. I do not believe in critics in general. I don't think we need critics. I don't think we need them for restaurants. I don't think we need them for movies. I don't think we need them for TV shows. I think we just need to make up our own decisions. I don't use Yelp. I don't use any of those. I want to try these places for myself. I don't want to know that a movie got 78% positive reviews before I walk in, because only one review matters, and that's mine. Do you guys rely on reviews?
100% I rely on them. I think you're crazy. One of the first things I do if I'm thinking about going to a hotel is I pull up their reviews online and read about other people's experiences to see if it is a nice hotel or if it is a rat hole. And that's one of the best ways we can find out. Same things with restaurants. I'd love to like look at the restaurant reviews to see if the place I'm thinking about.
But I always think
good.
Like a restaurant critic comes into your restaurant and you own the restaurant. It's like you got a 50-50 chance of surviving that thing. If you get a bad review, you're screwed in the LA Times. If you get a good review, it probably makes your year. But I think you got a 50-50 chance of losing on that. What about critics for movies and TV?
I tend not to read reviews before I go to the movies because I like it better when I don't know a lot. So I'll look. Sometimes I'll go to Rotten Tomatoes and look at the rating, look at the actual numbers, but I won't read the review.
Yeah, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. There are movies I've come out of that have terrible reviews, and I loved. And there were movies that I came out of that had fantastic reviews, and I was just like, I don't quite get it. So I like to make up my own mind.
What's a movie that had fantastic reviews that didn't work for you? Mine's easy. Mine's Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction is a very good one.
Right. It didn't work for me. I didn't love it. And everybody, it's on most people's top fives.
Yeah, the movies with great reviews that I didn't like. Recently, Green Book, I thought was just a so-so movie.
I thought it was good. I thought it was fine.
It shouldn't have been Best Picture. I didn't understand the reviews for, that's the only one that comes to mind.
Now, was there a reverse where a movie that got terrible reviews and you saw it and went, I don't understand. I love this movie.
Yeah, I mean, it happens an awful lot. Like, my favorite movie of last year was called The Burnt Orange Heresy, kind of obscure movie from Sony Classics. And it got like 40% positive reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. I looked at it afterwards. It's actually a really good movie. I liked it a lot.
So if you go back and read the reviews back in the day for It's a Wonderful Life.
Yes.
They were not good, and people thought that movie stunk. And I've seen it probably 20 times now. I can't imagine that movie not working for someone. I love It's a Wonderful Life. But
yeah.
There are people that, when it first came out, didn't work.
Well, you know, the other thing about It's a Wonderful Life is it was not a hit.
Right. Nobody liked it.
It just stood the test of time. All right, coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Then we got Game of Games.
Yes.
Mesa and Ireland, 7:10 ESPN.
Yes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here we go. It is Radio Tinder time. Linz, what do you got for us?
All right, guys. So I read a story in The Athletic today by Joe Poznanski, and it's about finding golf's next big star. You know, with the Masters going on and everything. He told this story about him and a friend were discussing the most famous athletes in America, and they were trying to figure out what, like, most famous really meant. His friend said a good way to gauge an athlete's famousness is to ask, are they famous enough to host Saturday Night Live?
Oh, okay.
So asking you guys, do you think there's any current professional golfers that pass the SNL famous test? Swipe left or swipe right?
DeChambeau
the
could
would be DeChambeau.
DeChambeau be could.
But he's only one.
Tiger.
Yeah. You think he comes across as funny, Ireland?
Yeah, because he's willing to make fun of himself.
Uh-huh.
Tiger, I would say DeChambeau's could the do only it. One.
Yeah, I mean, Tiger could do it, but it would have to be, I mean, he would have to show a sense of humor.
Uh-huh. What about, you know who the perfect guy, Phil Mickelson.
Oh, he'd be great.
Oh, I feel like he has.
I don't know if he has, but he'd be great.
No, he never has.
He's got the best.
I don't think a golfer has ever hosted Saturday Night Live.
Mickelson would be the guy.
I used to have this argument with Kobe. I thought Kobe would have been perfect, and he kept telling me, no, I don't want to do it. Uh-huh. LeBron's done it, and LeBron was really funny.
Yes.
Michael, don't you think Kobe would have been good?
Oh, yeah, he would have been really good.
I could never talk him into it. Through a friend of Mason's, we've gotten to know a guy who works on Saturday Night Live, a guy named Jeff Blake, who's a talent coordinator, really good dude, and he's a huge Laker fan. And so we could have greased those wheels. We could have gotten Kobe, in front of Lorne Michaels when we were in New York, and he just never said. But I thought Kobe had a great sense of humor and was really funny. And he just goes, "Nah, I don't think I could do it."
Mickelson would be the guy though, because when he does the celebrity golf and he's mic'd up, he is funny.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, most athletes who've hosted it, Lindsay, the SNL protects you. Like Tom Brady and Peyton Manning have hosted. Charles Barkley's hosted 4 times.
Has Shaq ever done it? Shaq would be
great.
Yeah,
I think he did.
I think Shaq did do it once.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to look that up, but I think he did.
I think Rory might be good. He seems like he's a charismatic guy.
I don't know if Rory fits your big enough name thing. But I mean, they're bringing up guys all the time. Like Daniel Kaluuya did it last week. I'm not sure everybody knew who
he was. Nominated for an Oscar right now.
But the guy before that was the lead in Bridgerton, which is kind of a niche show on Netflix.
No, that was a big show, John.
Wait a minute, but do you guys do it? Does anybody even know that guy's name?
No.
No, I didn't know
Ray
who the last
John
two hosts were.
Something or other.
Yeah, so I mean it.
Rondo? Rajon Rondo?
Yeah, it sounds like Rajon Rondo.
Now, Rajon Rondo, who's, can you imagine him hosting SNL, Michael?
He'd want to beat everybody up.
That would be a terrible show. Terrible show. All right, Lynch, what's next?
Speaking of the UK and Bridgerton, a UK couple who was tight on money realized that they would save $300 a month if they made their own lunch at home and brought it to work instead of ordering from restaurants and fast food places, which is pretty obvious. This, by the way, is from the Am I the A-Hole forum on Reddit.
Okay.
You must live on that thing.
I know. I try and get one in like at least one once a week.
Got it.
So the couple agreed that the wife would start making the husband sandwiches so he's going to eat more healthy and save money in the process. After a week, he started asking her to make 3 sandwiches a day because he was so hungry. Then it all changed as she wrote, quote, "Yesterday, he came home with his friend and coworker. We sat at the dinner table, and his friend brought up the sandwiches I make for my husband and how delicious they are. I thanked him, and then he said the price was a bit much. I was confused. I asked him to explain, and he said my husband sells the sandwiches I make to his coworkers, then goes to buy his own lunch from the restaurant."
Wow.
Whoa.
So then she told her husband that she'd no longer be making him sandwiches to sell at work, and then he argued with her and said it was unacceptable for her to lash out and refuse to make him lunch because he technically wasn't spending any of their money on fast food. She wants to know if she's the a-hole. Swipe left or swipe right?
No. He's the a-hole.
Yeah, he's the a-hole.
He's the deceitful one here for sure.
What a scam he's running.
No
selling
kidding.
His wife's sandwiches.
But isn't he bringing the money home for her too?
No, he takes the money, Michael, and then goes off and buys lunch.
The lunch that she didn't want him spending money on.
Yeah.
So she's doing the labor, making the sandwiches. He's taking it to work and making the money and then getting what he wants. I guess that is kind of a jerk.
It is kind of an ingenious plan, but no, she is definitely not at fault there.
She's a nice lady.
She's a nice lady.
Perfect. She's a nice lady.
Last one here. A University of Florida student claimed on Tuesday that she found a frog in her order of Cheesecake Factory mashed potatoes. She recorded a video on TikTok of her meal, which now has been viewed over 7.9 million times, and purports to show said frog. The Cheesecake Factory responded and said that they've been in touch with the woman, and they're very concerned to hear of this incident. So first it was shrimp tails and cereal, and then there was something about, like, a bullet in a Doritos bag.
Yeah, there was a
frogs.
Bullet in a Doritos bag.
Really?
Yeah. Now there's frogs and potatoes. If you found something weird like that in your food, would you post about it on social media? Swipe left or swipe right?
I would not. swipe left for me. I'm not interested in embarrassing anybody or making a quick buck unless I felt like it was intentional, or if there was a, like, you know, if there was a trend of a company being negligent, I might alert people to it. But if it was just a one-time mistake, I'm not going to post it. Mace, how about you?
You know, I'm all about the viral sensation. If I can create a viral sensation, I would actually open a TikTok account to be able to spread this viral. It seems like that's where all the viral stuff is coming now, from TikTok, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I got to jump on there and do
some of that. I thought you had a TikTok. I thought you and Ramona opened a TikTok account.
Yeah, but Ramona took it over, and now it's just pictures of baby Daniel.
Oh, okay.
On my TikTok account. So if you want to follow me on TikTok, follow Ramona and you'll see lots of baby pictures. But I'm all about the viral sensation. I'm also about warning the public of impending danger. If you find a bullet in your bag of Doritos, if you find shrimp tails in your cereal, if you find, what's this one?
Frog in the mashed potatoes.
Frog in the mashed potato. I think you should let the public know. Report it right away.
I kind of agree
on
with
social
you,
media.
Yeah. I agree. That's what I would do, too.
All right, coming up next is Game of Games. Michael, what is the game today?
Category Miami, where our Lakers are today.
Oh nice.
Very nice. And something you know well, where you went to high school.
And you guys should know a lot of this stuff, too.
Okay. Excellent. Right. That's coming up next for you. Game of Games, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. And Game of Games.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Game sponsored by Power Pro Plumbing and Heating. Powerful, professional, affordable. It's who they are. It's in their name. They are our plumber. They want to be yours, too. Call 1-800-584-4116 or visit powerproplumbing.com. All right, so we're working our way towards Lakers Heat. Pre-game starts at 3 o'clock this afternoon. In the meantime, it is Michael Thompson's game today. Always has interesting stuff for us. Michael, first of all, we'll let you know, in the month of April, Ireland has already won four times. Lindsay's won twice. Nobody else has scratched yet. Michael, what's the game today?
Category is Miami, where our Lakers are today. Answer in the form of Jeopardy. Your buzzer is your name. I have the answers. You guys ask me the questions. Ready? Here we go.
Yes.
Miami sits on the banks of this bay of water.
Miami. John.
John.
I said Miami.
Come on.
It sits on the banks of the Atlantic Ocean.
No.
I didn't answer.
Miami sits on the banks of this bay of water.
Jorge.
Jorge.
Is it Biscayne?
Biscayne Bay.
You didn't answer the form of a question.
I did. Mason.
No, wait. Mason, I said, is it Biscayne Bay?
No, that's not how you say it in Jeopardy.
It's a question.
You have to say what
no,
name.
Jorge,
what
right.
is Biscayne Bay?
Yes, Mason
no,
got
he
that.
He did answer in the form of a question.
No, though. He didn't, but you got to say what or who.
You can't
it's
just
a question.
Say Biscayne Bay?
No, I didn't. I said, is it Biscayne Bay?
No, Mason did it right. Named after a breed of dog, this performer is from Miami.
Ireland. Who is Pitbull?
Yes. This famous baseball player is from Miami.
Mason. Ireland.
Mason, I think, got that. Mace?
Yeah. I go A-Rod?
Yes.
Oh, no, wait. It's in the form of
Ireland.
Ireland.
Okay. Ireland.
Who is A-Rod?
Right.
Oh, God.
The Miami Dolphins set this record of never losing a game.
Ireland.
Hey. Ireland.
What is 17-0?
Yes. From Miami, he is the king of the cruise industry.
Mason. Who is Mickey Arison?
Yes. This Cuban-American singer is from Miami.
Lindsay.
Ireland.
Lindsay.
Who is Mark Anthony?
No.
Okay.
Mason.
Jorge.
Ireland.
Who is Gloria Stefan?
Yes.
All right. So right now it's Ireland 3, Mason 2, Jorge 1.
And this is the name of her band.
Ireland.
Mason. Ireland.
What is the Miami Sound Machine?
Yes.
I swear I was there first, but okay.
This national park is located near Mason.
What is the Everglades?
Yes.
Ooh, very good, Mason.
In his hit song, In Honor of Miami, his lyrics say...
Lindsay.
What is Welcome to Miami by Will Smith?
Who is Will Smith? Right. You got
right,
it right.
Lindsay's on the board.
Yes. All right. Let's see. You guys are doing great.
She's a nice lady.
This island is the nearest Bahamian island to Miami.
Ireland.
Ireland.
What is Nassau?
No. This island is the nearest Bahamian island to Miami. It is known for deep sea fishing. Starts with a B. 3, 2, 1, Aunt Bimini. You guys ever heard of that?
None of us were ever
heard of that one, man.
They starred in the TV series Miami Vice.
Ireland.
Mason. Ireland.
Who are Don Johnson and Philip Michael Thomas?
Jeez, very good. This was their TV characters' full names in the series.
Ireland. Who are Crockett and Tubbs?
Full names.
Who are Sonny Crockett and Felipe Tubbs?
No. Anybody else? Mason?
That was a Michael movie.
Sonny Crockett and Mitch Tubbs.
No. 3, 2, Ricardo Tubbs.
Ricardo Tubbs.
You're so close, John.
I don't know Felipe. He wasn't that far. Come on.
The NBA All-Star Weekend has been staged in an attractive and perfect setting in Miami only once in 1990 because of conflicting schedules with this event.
Mason. The Super Bowl.
What? He didn't say with the question, Ireland.
But he's wrong anyway. Ireland, go.
All right, so it'd be February. What is the Pride of Miami parade?
No, think Miami, Jorge, and where is Miami located? Next to a body of water. So Miami, Jorge, Lindsay, what event?
I have no idea.
What is the annual boat show? That's how powerful.
I was going to say Festival de Calle Ocho.
Gasparilla.
That's how big a boat thing.
So right now the score is Ireland 5, Mason 3, Lindsay and Jorge 1 each.
These are the full names of the four pro teams in Miami.
Mason.
Mason.
The Miami Dolphins.
Nope.
Ireland.
Ireland.
What are the Miami Dolphins?
Yes.
The Florida Marlins. The.
Nope.
Nope. Mason. I can't jump buzz back in.
Jorge, Lindsay. What are
Lindsay.
The, Lindsay.
What are the Miami Dolphins?
Yes.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers is not in Tampa. That's in Tampa, not Miami. So never mind. I'm wrong.
Jorge, you want to try it?
All right, let's go. It's the Miami Marlins.
Yeah.
Miami Dolphins.
Yes.
Inter Miami FC.
No, the major sports, the four major sports.
Come on, MLS is the major sport, man.
Come on. All right. Know what I mean.
No, I don't got it.
Miami Heat and Florida Panthers.
Jeez, there you guys. Go.
Florida Panthers.
Hockey team.
In 1972, the Dolphins completed their perfect season against this. Mason.
It was against the, Green Bay Packers?
Lindsay.
No, Lindsay.
What is the Detroit Lions?
No.
Ireland. Who are the Washington Redskins?
Right. This city is the largest city in the state of Florida.
Ireland. What is Miami?
No.
Lindsay.
What is about
Lindsay.
Miami?
What is Orlando?
No.
Mason. What is Fort Lauderdale?
No.
What is it?
Jorge, take a shot.
There's only one more big city.
Sheesh.
What is 3, 2, 1? What is
Tampa?
What is Jacksonville?
Jacksonville
is the largest city in Florida.
No, one of the biggest in the country. In 1954, this iconic fast food chain opened in Miami. In 1950, Mason.
What is Shake Shack?
No.
It's a random one.
It was random.
It's huge.
Ireland. What is Jack in the Box?
No. Bigger. Jorge, Big. Lindsay?
Lindsay. I'll guess. I know it's not like that.
It's a what?
What is Burger King?
Right. Very good.
Burger King started in Miami.
He started to say Whoppers. So
that's right. It's a Whopper of a deal. True or false, Miami is the only city in America founded by a woman.
Ireland.
Well, you could guess. True or false?
I'll say true.
What do you say, Mace?
I'll say true.
Lindsay?
What is true?
And George? Jorge?
I'll say true. I'm
yes, you're all right. It's true. Julia Tuttle in 1896. In January 1977, this phenomenon happened for the first and only time in Miami.
1977.
Lindsay.
What is a Sasquatch sighting?
No.
Mason. What is a bicentennial celebration?
No. In 1977, this phenomenon, January of 1977 is the hint. This phenomenon happened for the first and only time in Miami. January of 1977. 3, 2,
don't know.
1, snow. It's winter.
Wow. That's not really an international phenomenon, though, is it?
Pretty much.
This protective adhesive was invented in Miami.
Mason. What is Gorilla Glue?
No.
Ireland. What is Crazy Glue?
No. Protective adhesive.
Lindsay. What is Velcro?
No. Protective adhesive. You put it on your body.
Oh, Jorge, what is a Band-Aid?
Sunscreen.
It's not an adhesive, man.
Well, you add it to your butt. This stream of water flows off the shores of Miami. This stream of water and is very...
Mason. The Gulf Stream.
Yes, right. Nope.
No, Jorge. Well, Ireland.
Jorge.
What is the Gulf Stream?
Yes.
For the love of God.
Along with the Heat, these three other teams' nickname does not end with an S.
Mason. Red Sox?
No, talk about NBA.
Okay, what is...
3-2-1, who else?
Ireland. The Utah Jazz, the Utah Jazz.
One.
The Orlando Magic.
Two.
And the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yes, very good, Ireland. This famous beach was the location for the Jackie
Gleason.
Lindsay.
What is Miami Beach?
Yes. This beach is known to give the Heat a huge home court
advantage.
Ireland.
What is South Beach?
That's right. To appease LeBron, it was thought this player from Connecticut was drafted by the Heat in the first round.
Oh, I know this. Ireland.
Ireland.
Who is Shabazz Napier?
That's right.
Really?
This question is for Lindsay only.
Okay.
The Heat have had six coaches in their history, Lindsay. Name two of the six.
She's a nice lady.
Nice lady.
Who is Eric Spoelstra?
Yes, very good.
And who is Pat Riley?
Very good, Lindsay. This was the year the Heat joined the NBA.
Ireland. What is 1988?
Yes.
Wow.
Closest to the number for all of you. The distance between L.A. and Miami.
Okay, I'll say 3,100 miles.
3,100. Lindsay?
I'll go 3,900.
39. Jorge?
33.
And Ireland?
Wait, is this driving or flying?
Flying.
Oh.
Flying? 2,400.
Ireland wins 2,342 miles.
I would say I would like to change my answer, but...
This food item is thought to be the most popular food item in Miami.
Ireland.
Mason. Ireland.
What is a Cubano, a Cuban sandwich?
Yes. These meats make up the Cuban sandwich.
Lindsay.
Ham
and pulled pork.
That's right.
What is ham and pulled pork?
Yeah, there you go.
Lindsay. Yeah, wow, that's impressive.
All right, three more, Michael.
All right. For this sport involving a ball that bounces off a wall.
Ireland. What is high lie?
Very good.
Oh,
for
yeah.
extra points, each
that?
Of you spell high lie.
Mason. It is H-I-A-L-E-G-A.
No. Ireland.
What is J-A-I-A-L-A-I?
Very good.
Nice. Wow.
And because of this, let's see. Okay, last one.
Yeah.
Like a Laker legend, the city of Miami shares the same nickname.
Like a Laker legend.
The city of Miami shares the same nickname.
Mason. What is Magic?
Where is Magic City? Very good, Mace.
Oh, very good.
There
really?
You go.
People call it that?
That's the nickname of Miami, Magic City.
All right, there you have it. There's
so who
Michael's
won?
Game. I did. John did.
Again?
Going away.
Yeah, he always wins.
I had 12.
12? Yeah. Well, Lindsay beat Jorge, right?
Yeah.
You know, Michael, yesterday we played Real Jeopardy to see who was the smartest person on the show, and you know who won.
No way you beat Ireland.
I did. I beat him.
Michael, what was the category? Sewing?
The last question, I kid you not, the deciding question, it came down to sudden death. Lindsay asked Mason about his favorite book of all time.
The category was bestsellers.
Which I didn't know it was
Paulo
his favorite
Coelho.
Book.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she had no idea that was my favorite book.
So, but you had to name the book that she had down?
Yeah, I said, what is The Alchemist?
That's the best-selling book ever?
No, the question, bestseller.
Yeah, the question was, I forget. I don't even
like, which book?
The category was bestsellers, yeah. And the question, or the answer was this book written by Paulo Coelho.
Oh.
Yeah, it took him 2 weeks to write or something. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you like to read books, right, Mace?
I do. Yeah. I've read books.
Yeah.
I've read parts of many books.
So, Michael, let me ask you a question. Mason, of course, is predicting a Laker loss tonight.
I'm expecting this to not be a win.
I actually think the Lakers can win this game, and the reason I think it is, the Heat are super streaky this year. Like, they've gone on long win streaks, and they've gone on long losing streaks. Since the beginning of March, they had a 4-game win streak and a 5-game win streak. But in between them, they lost 6 in a row. So it was like win 4, lose 6, win 5. They're only 9-8 since the beginning of March.
Yeah.
I think Lakers, even without THT, and especially with Andre coming back, can win this game. Am I homering it up, or do you agree?
No, not at all. This is a toss-up game. Having Andre back tonight, that's going to help them a lot against Bam. So, yeah, this is a toss-up game because, like you said, Miami just don't know which team's going to show up.
Yeah, Miami still won, 4 out of 5, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've still won 4 out of 5. And I'm trying to find the line for tonight to see the way people are gambling on this or gaming
if
on this.
If I had to guess, I would say the spread is Miami by 5.
It's Miami by 9.
Really?
Now,
yeah, Miami minus 9.
Now, the thing is, though, Ireland, as we know, South Beach is fully open, right?
No, they had to close it down after everybody went out and partied.
You
last
sure it's
week.
Not reopened now? I know spring break shut it down.
Because the guys
sure
had
not reopened.
The guys had the night off in Miami last night.
Well, we, as you know, Michael, we don't. If they're staying in our normal hotel, they have to actually find a way to get to South Beach. Not that they're incapable of doing that, but it's not like the hotel. Remember 1 year we stayed right on South Beach?
Oh, I hated that hotel. That was a dump.
Yeah, but you guys, listen to this. Justin Rose, has now birdied 5 out of the last 6 holes.
Wow.
He's 7 under at the Masters with 1 hole to go.
Wow.
The closest guy to him is 3 under. Why didn't one of us take Justin Rose?
Well, can he keep this up, though, for 3 more days? I don't know.
7 under is insane.
Somebody's
that is crazy. That is crazy. All right, so tomorrow we are back at 12:55 sharp. We will cover Dodgers opening day for you. You won't miss anything if you listen to us and we'll also break down the Miami Heat and the Lakers from tonight. And 1:55 is Fast Track, so make sure you're back here tomorrow. In the meantime, it is Lakers pregame time. That means it is time for Alan Sliwa and Michael Thompson, otherwise known as Spock and the Jock.
Yes.
Getting ready for a 4:30 tip. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.